Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
We're reading from Canto 10, Chapter 12, which there's three main parts. Coward boys, like any other day, they go out enjoying, taking care of the cows and doing what little boys that take care of cows do all day long. And a very famous verse, very important verse, is Kritta Punya Punja, where Shukadeva Goswami says, what good fortune these cowherd boys who the jnanis, they're having some understanding as Brahmasukh, happiness of Brahman realization. Those who are devotees, the dasya, bhaktas, they see him as the personality of Godhead and worship. Materialists, they see him as an ordinary person, but these coward boys, they're playing with him. What good
fortune? Who can understand? And then the yogis, so it's the categories, karmis, jnanis, yogis, and devotees. The jnanis, the verse says, in their trance of meditation and samadhi, they don't have access to even a particle of dust from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality Godhead, who these boys are playing with and touching all the time. Who can understand their good fortune? So then, that's one section. Then the next section is, by the arrangements of Yogamaya, Aristasura. No, excuse me, Agasura. Agasura. It's a nice name. Imagine your mother and father calling their child Aga. But anyway, Agasura. He was a very confidential representative of Kamsa. Kamsa sent him, go kill him. So what is it? This and that and the other. Maybe it's a serpent. But we want to see Krishna exhibit his power, and we're curious. Let's go. And with their arms raised and clapping and frolicking, they go waltzing into the mouth of the Agasura demon. And the calves, because their boys are between 4 and 5 years old, the calves with their tails raised, they go skipping in after the coward boys. But the serpent doesn't close his mouth because he wants to kill Krishna. And then there's this, we've been spending this extended time on a verse which describes the pause that Krishna experiences. His own Lila Shakti, he's amazed at what Lila Shakti just did. And he's amazed that he's now feeling, he's amazed and he's feeling bewildered what to do. Yeah. So even Krishna become bewildered what to do. But it's his own potency, because his own potency is doing what Krishna wants. And then he knows what to do in the next moment. So that's where we are. What happens after that is another part of the chapter. So we're starting with text 31. Krishna went inside and he was exhibiting one of his primary mystic powers. He's Yogeshwara. So one of those powers is Mahima. He just started getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
He knew what to do. Then, because Krishna had increased the size of his body, the demon extended his own body to a very large size. Nevertheless, his breathing stopped. He suffocated, and his eyes rolled here and there and popped out. The demon's life air, however, could not pass through any outlet, and therefore it finally burst out of a hole at the top of the demon's head. Now, the Sanskrit of the verse is
vanaha, not prana, but it's translated as the life air. So we've been reading, there's different commentaries. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse. His throat blocked up, his eyes falling out, the air trapped in his body with no way of getting out, went through the Brahmarandra at the top of the head and attained perfection. Purnaha. And Jiva Goswami writes in his commentary, because Krishna had expanded tataha, Agha suffocated, certainly, and he became bewildered. Brahmataha. He became like an insane person, thinking in pain, where am I? Where will I go? He became completely full because his prana was blocked. Thus his body swelled bigger. And because of that, the prana burst out of his head from the Brahma Randra. I didn't know that snakes had one. I know that humans have one.
Yeah.
Snakes have. What's this? Text 32. When all the demon's life air had passed away through that hole at the top of his head, Krishna glanced over the dead calves and cowherd boys and brought them back to life. It's going to be explained. They're not exactly dead. They're unconscious. Then Mukunda, who can give one liberation, came out from the demon's mouth with his friends and the calves. And commentary says, Vishwanath, the cowherd boys and calves who fainted due to separation from Krishna and from the heat of the serpent's stomach were brought back to consciousness by Krishna's glance, which was a shower of nectar. And Jiva Goswami writes in his commentary, when all his senses passed out, along with the prana, or when all his life airs passed out through the Brahmarandra, seeing the boys who momentarily looked as if dead because of following after the Lord's human-like pastimes, he revived them to action by his sweet, affectionate glance. Krishna's glance is very powerful. Mukunda, he who liberated Agha from samsara and who frees the boys from Agha, since he is the Supreme Lord who appeared on his own to benefit the universe, Bhagavan.
With the boys behind him, he came out of the snake's mouth in bliss. And a short commentary by Jiva Goswami in his Kramasandarbha. The calves and boys seemed to be dead, paritan. This expresses similarity to human pastimes. Actually, they had fainted out of separation from Krishna, being embraced by his chit shakti, or spiritual potency. And concluding is text 23. Very interesting purport also. From the body of the gigantic python, a glaring effulgence came out, illuminating all directions, and stayed individually in the sky until Krishna came out from the corpse's mouth. Then, as all the demigods looked on, this effulgence entered into Krishna's body. And it's a long purport by Srila Prabhupada. Apparently, the serpent named Agasura, because of having received association with Krishna, attained mukti by entering Krishna's body. Entering the body of Krishna is called Sayuja mukti, but later verses prove that Agasura, like Dantavakra and others, receive Sarupya mukti. This has been broadly described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur with references from the Vaishnava Toshani of Srila Jiva Goswami. Agasura attained Sarupya Mukti, or being promoted to the Vaikuntha planets, to live with the same four-armed bodily features as Vishnu. The explanation of how this is so may be summarized as follows. Paragraph. The effulgence came out from the python's body and became purified, attaining spiritual shuddha sattva, freedom from material contamination, because Krishna had stayed within the serpent's body even after the serpent's death. One may doubt that such a demon full of mischievous activities could attain the liberation of Sarupya or Sayuja, and one may be astonished about this, but Krishna is so kind that in order to drive away such doubts, he had the effulgence, the individual life of the python, wait for some time in its individuality in the presence of all the demigods. Paragraph. Krishna is the full effulgence, and every living being is part and parcel of that effulgence. As proved here, the effulgence of every living being is individual. For some time, the effulgence remained outside the demon's body individually and did not mix with the whole effulgence, the Brahma Jyoti. The Brahman effulgence is not visible to material eyes, but to prove that every living being is individual, Krishna had this individual effulgence stay outside the demon's body for some time for everyone to see. Then Krishna proved that anyone killed by him attains liberation, whether Sayuja, Sarupya, Samipya, or whatever. And the final paragraph. But the liberation of those who are on the transcendental platform of love and affection is vimukti, special liberation. Thus the serpent first entered the body of Krishna personally and mixed with the Brahman effulgence. This merging is called Sayuja mukti, but from later verses we find that Agasura attained Sarupya mukti. This is text 33. In text 38, it is explained that Agasura attained a body exactly like that of Vishnu. And the verse after that also clearly states that he attained a completely spiritual body like that of Narayana. Therefore, in two or three places, the Bhagavatam has confirmed that Agasura attained Sarupya Mukti. One may argue, how is it that he mixed with the Brahman effulgence? The answer is that as Jai and Vijay, after three births, attained Sarupya Mukti and association with the Lord, Agasura received a similar liberation. And just one of the many purports or commentaries from this one from Vishwanath. The light in the serpent's body was Shuddha Sattva, according to Sridhar Swami, that an evil person can get liberation, as illustrated here, is for instilling faith in the people. Though the soul is normally invisible, Embraced by the Shakti of the Lord, this soul became visible directly as a great light. This is Jiva Goswami's opinion in the Vaishnav Toshini. Like the great light of the Parabrahman, the light of the soul is not visible to material eyes. But it became visible by the Lord's will, like his own form, in order to show all the world directly the Lord's quality of giving liberation even to the demons. This is one opinion. That's Jiva Goswami's opinion. He's supporting it. And the final paragraph, according to verses 38 and 39, Agassura attained a form like the Lord's and attained the Lord's abode. From this it is clear that Agassura did not attain mere Sayujya Mukti, but Sarupya Mukti. Therefore, the light which was visible was the light from Agassura's spiritual body, which he attained at that moment, because the spiritual body itself was spiritual. It could not be seen with material eyes. His entrance into the Lord's body was just a show, as in the case of Shishupal and Dantavakra. Although Shishupal and Dantavakra attained Sarupya as eternal associates of the Lord, when they died, a light from their bodies entered into the Lord. This is another opinion about the visibility of the light. This happened in the presence of the devatas, Missattvam, Devaukasam, who were greatly astonished. Agassura's soul entered Krishna, not paying attention to the devas, though they were present. So, a little discussion on different types of liberation. Commonly, when people speak of liberation or mukti, it's commonly thought of as merging or sayujya, entering into the Brahman effulgence, becoming one with Brahman, sayujya, mukti. According to the Vedic texts, that's one of five different types of liberation. And that sayujya or merging liberation is not the result for Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas may achieve one of the other four. And sarupya, having a form like the Lord. Samipya, sharsti, and salokya. Salokya, attaining the planet of the Lord. Having opulences like the Lord. Having close association with the Lord. Those are liberations, Vaishnava liberations. So there's this interesting discussion that takes place at the beginning of Canto 7. And Canto 7 comes right after Canto 6. And in that section, beginning of Canto 7, there's a discussion. It's the person speaking is Yudhisthira, and the person he's speaking to is Narada. Krishna is in the assembly, and the Pandavas are in the assembly. It's an occasion of the Rajasuya Yajna, and the question asked by Yudhisthira is, what just happened? Shishupal, bad person, we all saw, he got liberation. Krishna, you know, with the Sudarshan Chakra, finished him, and his soul went in the air and he merged with the body of Krishna. And this Sayujya Mukti is very rare to achieve. I mean, it goes through the description of persons who try, transcendentalists and this and that, yogis, lifetimes, austerities, penances, and it's rare to achieve.
and this bad person achieved it. How is that? So in that context, a whole lot of things are described in Canto 7. But I'm just going to read a commentary. Well, in the case of Shishupal, there's a few things. In the case of Shishupal, he and Dantavakra were the last of the giant Vijay lives as demons. You're familiar with that, right? Giant Vijay cursed by the Kumaras. Yes? No?
No.
No. Oh, okay. You know the four Kumaras, the little boys, the sons of Brahma. So they went to the gates of Vaikuntha. They were stopped by the two gatekeepers, Jai Vijay. You can't come in. Only persons who are perfectly pure can enter Vaikuntha. And they, little boys, said, what are you talking about? This position of entrance into Vaikuntha is for souls that are pure. And you don't understand what your duty is. You don't even belong here in the spiritual world. We curse you to take birth in the material world. And you have your choice. Three births as demons or some additional numbers of births as devotees. Well, we want to come back quickly, so we'll take three births as demons. And there was another purpose behind it. The other purpose behind it was they had offered a prayer to Lord Narayan. Jain Vijay are gatekeepers. They offered a prayer to Narayan. We know that you have a spirit of chivalry. You like virya. You like, combat. But who can be your competition? If you like, we can do that in service to you. So recognizing their prayer, he made this arrangement, Narayan. So they became demons for three births. And the three, sequence of three are Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and the third, Shishupal and Dantavakra, and then back to Vaikuntha. So Shishupal was Krishna's cousin, without all the details, they were cousins. In Shishupal's previous life, he was Ravana. And prior to that, he was Hiranyakashipu. So Shishupal had already been defeated twice by Vishnu. So he had animosity towards Vishnu. And it's described that whenever the Lord kills, like Hiranyakashipu, besides he gets his sinful reactions wiped clean by his being killed, there's some additional benefit that comes. And the additional benefit in this case is he became very opulent, materially opulent, Ravana, materially opulent, with great powers. So when Ravana was killed, Ravana didn't recognize that Ram was the personality of Godhead. He just said, I'm as a powerful person, but I'm a powerful person. So I'll defeat him. Anyway, that was his mindset. So he didn't achieve liberation, but Shishupal had a sense that Krishna is the personality of Godhead, but he had this intense hatred from birth. There's details. So in his whole life, he was meditating on Krishna. I hate Krishna, 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 Krishna. His mind was absorbed in Krishna. Because his mind was absorbed in Krishna and he was killed by Krishna, he achieved liberation. Whereas the previous lifetimes, they didn't achieve liberation. They got their slate wiped clean, their karma, the sins, in reaction to the sins by being killed by Hiranyakashipu, by Lord Srinadeva and by Ram, but by being killed by Krishna, they achieve liberation. Shishupal and Dantavakra. But what kind of liberation? So, some think that liberation they achieved was Sayuja. That's the Sayujas become one with. Shishupal emerged into the body of Krishna. So it looked like Sayuja Mukti. And then there's this explanation. Same thing happened with Agasura. So the soul went up in the air, hovered for some time. Krishna came out, and the demigods were watching, merged into the body of Krishna. That's Sayuja. But although he was a demon, Krishna didn't have to do this, but very mercifully Krishna did this. Krishna gave him another kind of liberation, position in Vaikuntha, in the abode of the Lord, with a form like the Lord. So, sound like a good program. Just become a Agasura and you get, you go back to Godhead, right? No, that's not the program. That's not the program. It's exceptional that this happened this way. And part of the explanation of why it happened this way is because Agasura was the younger brother of Putana. And Putana, although she came with wicked intention, she had some maternal affection also. When she saw little child Krishna, she thought, oh, how beautiful. Then, let me kill him. So Krishna accepted the motherly function, being the nurse, and gave her liberation as the assistant of Mother Yashoda in Krishna Loka. So that's, she had two brothers, Putana, Bakasura and Agasura. So Bakasura, similarly, Krishna in the pastime allowed himself to go into the mouth of the Baka demon by contact with Baka demon's body like that. He became purified. Krishna gave him liberation. And with Agasura, specifically, he gave him sarupya, form in the spiritual world. So now I'm going to read a little bit of commentary. This is going back to Canto 7. This is Narada having this discussion with Yudhisthira about how did this happen, Shishupal. Here's the commentary. Kamsa also achieved Sayuja. Shishupal Dantavakra and Poundaraka achieved Sarupya, or promotion to the Vaikuntha plan, is to live with the same forearm bodily features as Vishnu. Other enemies achieved Sayuja or Salokya or other goals suitable to them. The Yadavas and Pandavas attained a position as associates of the Lord in friendship and other moods. Narada and others who performed Vaidhi Bhakti attained the position of associates with Aishwarya Gyan, or reverence. This is a Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura's commentary on this discussion with Yudhisthira. So, in summary, in association with Krishna, all of those who were killed, even all the soldiers on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, because they were killed in the presence of Krishna, they achieved liberation. And then there's different destinations depending upon their situation. But so it's clear with Shishupal, and Dantavakra, because they're going back to be Jaya Vijaya, the gatekeepers. Right? The gatekeepers that were cursed by the four Kumaras. They returned after that lifetime. So they achieved that spiritual form in Vaikuntha. And it's gatekeepers of Narayan again. But Poundraka, you know who is Poundraka? Poundraka is the king of Kashi, had a buddy, a mystic friend. And a mystic friend claimed to be Vishnu. And he even went as far as pacing on two extra arms. And he sent a messenger to Dwarka to tell Krishna, you stop telling people you're Vishnu. And if you don't, I'll come and destroy you. Krishna laughed at the messenger and said, just you tell Poundraka, he doesn't have to come here, I'll go there and I'll destroy him. So Krishna went and destroyed him. So when Krishna destroyed him, we're hearing, he achieved Sarupya Poundraka. And later on that same chapter, Canto 7, Chapter 10, there's a quote from Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya says, all these people, Poundraka, Narakasura, Shalva, and Kamsa, all inimical towards the personality of Godhead, but because they constantly thought about Krishna, they achieved Sarupya Mukti. They achieved this. So thinking of Krishna is very powerful. I mean, then bhakti is to always think of Krishna, but favorably. Small thing. Always think of Krishna favorably. And this is Rupa Goswami's teachings from Nectar Devotion or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. Anukulyena means favorably. Always have regard for Krishna and serve him favorably. That's bhakti. The destination of the bhakta is different than the destination of these demons who are also always thinking of Krishna. We had this lengthy description about Shalva the other day. Shalva was present when Krishna kidnapped Rukmini. And when Krishna kidnapped Rukmini, he wanted to get back at Krishna for what he did. So he underwent extended austerities to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva came, what would you like? I'd like the means that I'd like an airship that has all kinds of weapons and this and that and the other thing, so I can go and attack the residents of Dwarka. So he's just meditating on Krishna. You know, wicked-minded meditation, but meditation on Krishna. And so then he went and anyway, many things happened, but ultimately he was destroyed by Krishna. And Shalva attained the same Sarupya. So what the mind does is really important. It's not just engaging in pious activities, but what the mind does is very important. So piety has something to do with the modes of nature. Has everything to do with the modes of nature, the mode of goodness, piety. And people that are pious become more and more and more situated in goodness, and in the situation of goodness, they're elevated to the heavenly planets. Ordvam gacchati santvasta. They go to the heavenly planets. But bhakti is far more than piety. It's prescribed activities and Mamanusmara, always thinking of Krishna. Mamanusmara yudhyacha, Krishna says to Arjuna. yudhya. It means fighting. But Prabhupada translates it as perform your prescribed duties and always think of me. So all we think of Krishna is essential. All the rules and regulations of bhakti is with that one purpose. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. There's several verses in the Vedas that say it like that. So always think of Krishna favorably. That's bhakti. These are individuals who thought of Krishna always unfavorably. They achieve liberation. So where the mind goes is really important, along with being pious. You perform prescribed duties. It's always think of Krishna favorably. That is, to be in service to him. So I'll read this. Madhvacharya wrote a verse to describe what we're talking about. Pondraka Narakasura, Shalva, and Kamsa were all inimical toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because all these kings constantly thought of him, they achieved the same liberation, Sarupya. The Jnana Bhakta, the devotee who follows the path of Jnana, also attains the same destination. So there's this conversation or teaching that the devotees are not aspiring for these types of liberation. One reason is even demons achieve them, so it's not the aspiration is simply to be engaged in service. And whatever the Lord wants to do with me, I'm ready. That's fine with me. It's yes. Whatever he wants. But I don't come with my little wish list saying I want these things. That's Shuddha Bhakti. Now, one last thing. A point is made, there's further commentary, but a point is made that we don't see the soul. It's very tiny. Smaller than an atom. We don't see atoms. We don't see the soul that's smaller than an atom. So how did everybody see the soul? The explanation given is because Krishna had been within the body of a gasura, that only the soul became liberated, but the spiritual form of the soul is very effulgent. Like a spark is what to speak of than the fire. Krishna is the fire. We don't see the Brahmajyoti and we don't see the souls. But Krishna wanted the demigods and everybody else to see there's the soul in his spiritual form, and that soul in his spiritual form is different than the source of all souls, Krishna. And this Sayuja is only in appearance. Because there's individuality always. And then he just, from that Sayuja position, he went on to the spiritual kingdom, the Vaikuntha realm, and accepted a form like the Lord's. How merciful. For some reason, Krishna was, there's some explanation. But Krishna was very kind to Putana and Bakasura and Aristasura, Agasura. They all got liberation. Yeah. She got a position in Krishna Loka assisting Mother Jashoda, and the other two got a position of a form like the Lord's in Vaikuntha. Then the point is, what to speak then of persons who dedicate everything to the personality of Godhead? What's their destination? Because Krishna's very kind. He's kind to these people. What about the people that dedicate themselves to him? In a mindful manner. So that's our topic for this evening. Canto 10, chapter 12. Let's see if there's some discussion. Just for the people online.
So my question is, did Krishna knew these demons when they're going to come and attack him? And like you said, the soul. So even though they were after him, and they still, because they were the enemy of him and still mentioned Krishna, I mean, they were thinking about Krishna, and they got liberated?
Yeah. Yes to all of that. In fact, to say it even more, in the early parts of this chapter 12, right after the cowherd boy's playing and all that, it says, by his yogamaya potency, Krishna summoned Agasura. Okay. It's time to get liberated. Let's go. So he knew that he's omniscient. Now there are parts of his omniscience or his playfulness that he seems to not know. He's playing the part of an ordinary boy. He's the all-knowing personality of Godhead. He becomes so absorbed in playing with the cowherd boys. Narada has to come and tap him on the shoulder and say, Krishna, it's time to go to Mathura and kill Kamsa. He doesn't do it so directly, but there's the absorbed in the happiness, the joy, the bliss, that's Krishna's heart is attracted to those things. And there's his omniscience and all-powerfulness and all those other things, his Aishwarya features, they're always there. So even when he's doing things where he's apparently bewildered and what have you, he's omniscient in all circumstances. So yes, he was aware, and he was aware of what their destinations would be and everything. He was very careful, you know, mindful about not disturbing, for example, not disturbing when he killed Agasura, he was able to display his divinity, unlike what would happen if he was with the elders, because the elders see him as their beloved child who they have to protect and all those things. So he doesn't exhibit his divinity to them in the same way that he did with the cowherd boys, because he didn't want to disturb their feelings of love for him, their mode of love for him. So he's all-knowing, and he's also all-playful.
Then my other question is, for our generation, when we think in Krishna, but then you're, like we said, our mind plays a lot of different roles. And when we not doing the duties, but yet we're reminding, you know, we'll keep on remembering his name, does that also get closer to liberation?
Yes. Yes. There's power in the name. And so if one calls the name, even if one is not, you know, aligned in all other respects, that alignment, purification, and alignment follow the calling of the name because it's so powerful. No.
Because I'm just watching those Radha Krishna series, those episodes. So that's when I see the Agasura and I see the Radha and Krishna. Both are in the mouth of the Agasura.
Well, Radha's not there.
But I just seeing those...
Well, whatever is in the movie got it wrong. She's back at the ranch. She's back in the village. Radha's not there. Boys, calves, and Krishna, not Radha. You got to be careful with those animated things. They don't pay attention to what the Bhagavatam says.
That's fine. It's a different story, you know, the way they are showing, you know, movies kind of story.
It's entertaining, but it's not. There are ways that it's also...
They're showing this, like Radha went to Ragasu's mouth, and Krishna says,
playing his flute?
Yeah. So she just pushed it, and that's where Ragasu got killed. And then she came out of the mouth, and she fired the whole Vrindavan and killed that Ragasu. Krishna was there, but Krishna didn't say anything. But I don't know why this is the right story or not.
No, it's not. Not even close. Not even close. Not even close.
Why do you make like that?
It sells, you know. It's marketing. Doesn't have the same spiritual potency. You know, it's cute and it's entertaining and stuff, but it doesn't have the same spiritual potency as the absolute truth.
So many factors they are showing, the Radha with the cow versus Krishna. But she has all the negative beauties, and Krishna tried to purify the Radha, you know, and that's all they are showing on the Radha. But I'm not sure.
Yeah,
that's the right thing for one.
You read Bhagavatam and you'll get for sure.
Yeah, I'm reading Bhagavatam.
Are you reading Bhagavatam?
Yeah, we are
okay.
Reading Bhagavatam.
Okay, good.
I'm reading it, very nice.
Then you probably will stop watching the other because it's not accurate.
Yeah,
I'm reading every day.
Yeah, we are chapter, I think, the 14 now.
Canto 1, Chapter 14.
Yeah.
Very good.
Before Swati joined us, but now she is the working. That's why me,
just
my sister, my
mom
mother, will
listen to us.
Everybody.
We are reading Prabhupada Bhagavad every day.
Oh, good.
4:35 every day.
Yeah, every day we are reading Bhagavad.
Okay.
Very nice. I like it.
Yeah, we love it every day.
Yeah.
We are reading and we are getting so much stuff.
Some things we don't know that, but when I read, they're very nice.
Good, good, good. How do you have, Bhamsi Dara, you have something?
Amara Mataji was asking, while performing my prescribed duties, when I try to remember Krishna, it feels neither favorable nor unfavorable. What is this kind of remembrance? Is there any place for such remembrance? How can you move forward towards favorable remembrance?
Well, favorable simply means, I mean, in the simplest terms, favorable means that Krishna should be pleased. There's degrees and intensities and so forth, but, you know, that Krishna should be pleased. And, you know, your question is similar to Alpesha's question, which says, supposing you're chanting but not always doing duties in the manner that you wish or should or could, that's purifying. So even in this, what Amara is saying is that thinking of Krishna while doing duties, and it may not be like so bhakti-filled, but it's purifying. So you leverage the bhakti part, you know, the favorable to Krishna part, and just move in that direction. Okay.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. So Bakasura also got the Sarupya.
It doesn't say specifically that he got Sarupya. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, because in the commentary, it was mentioning about Agasura settling.
Agasura, yeah, it doesn't say specifically Bakasura. You're right. You're listening very carefully. That's good.
I have another question. question.
It doesn't say that he didn't, and it doesn't say that he did. He certainly got liberation. And I'll go back and check and see if it says somewhere with in relation to Bakasura what type of liberation. Go ahead.
So recently we have celebrated Bhadra Purnima festival, right?
Yeah.
So traditionally, how was it celebrated? Like when Prabhupada time or
it wasn't celebrated at all.
Okay.
It's Vaisheshika Prabhu's find because he reads Bhagavatam. And he came across that verse, he thought, wow. And he started sharing it, and some of us really started jumping up and down, and it's just grown since then. But it wasn't celebrated during Prabhupada's time.
Like most of the festivals, famous festivals at least, they were, I think, Sanatana Goswami has his procedures, right?
Yes.
So,
what is described in Hari Bhakti Vilas about how to observe Bhadra Purnima? I don't know. Hari Bhakti Vilas is not available in English. I can ask somebody that has Hari Bhakti Vilas that has a translation. I don't. For your information, there's a book, very thick, that's a manual that describes how to, it's a how-to manual, how to observe Ekadasi, how to observe festivals, how to worship the deity, how to, the duties of a sannyasi, and how to everything, how to put on tilak, mantras you say, and so forth and so on. There's a how-to manual. The Hari Bhakti Vilas. Hari Bhakti Vilas. So he's asking from Hari Bhakti Vilas, what does it say about Bhadra Purnima? And I'm saying I don't have a copy or access to one, but I know people that do. So if you remind me, I'll ask.
This question is from Amrita Kelly Mataji. In Jaya and Vijaya's pastime, we hear that they were ready to become demons so they can return sooner. So she has two-part question on this. The first part is, in Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto, we have this verse, Narayana Parasarve, that Lord Narayana's devotees do not care if they are in Swarga, Apavarga or Naraka, as long as they are serving him. Why Jaya and Vijaya chose this option of becoming demons?
I answered that question. The answer is they also had the interest to provide chivalrous combat for Narayan because he was desirous of chivalrous combat. So that was a service they were eager to or willing to perform for him.
The second part of the same question is, though we understand that their intention and mood is to serve the Lord in chivalry, this option of becoming demons seems to be contradicting to Anukulyena Krishnana Shilanam.
No, but they were doing that on his behalf. And it is unusual, but it's what happened with them. It doesn't happen lots of times, don't worry.
Sandhya Mataji is asking, is Hari Bhakti Vilas for everyone's reading? Can everyone read?
It's not available, so you can't.
This is from the Salaksha Prabhu. I tend to forget Lord Sri Krishna most of the times. What steps shall I take to remember at least periodically while doing the services?
Stop your services and pull out your bead bag and chant. Or just chant. You don't have to pull out your bead bag. Or have some slokas that you're memorizing and pull out the little 3x5 card and recite the slokas. Put the card back in your pocket and carry on with your duties. etc. Offer some prayers periodically. Engage in the bhakti process with, you know, with regulation. Okay? Anything from you?
No.
No?
We're just reading the book, so we are...
Okay. Anything from what you're reading that you want to hear something?
We have a very clear explanation from Prabhupada's book.
Okay.
So it's very easy to understand it.
Questions usually arise when you're reading carefully. Some questions arise, like how do we understand this, or it says this over here and says that over there. How do we put those two things together? What chapter are you in? Chapter 14?
Yeah.
Somebody.
We just started 14. We finished 13 chapters.
Okay.
So this is the 14th chapter. For Purushottam.
In chapter 15, somebody from China just raised this question. So he responded. It speaks, that Draupadi, from Mahabharata, Draupadi, when, after the Pandavas went to the heavenly planets, they found Draupadi was already there as the goddess of fortune in the heavenly planets. So this devotee was asking, if she's the goddess of fortune, what she's doing in the heavenly planets. And there's additional purports where it does speak something quite similar. The Pandavas went to heaven. So, but when they went to heaven, according to Mahabharata, they were a little bewildered because Indra displayed some mystic power, and they saw what looked to them like hell. But it wasn't hell, it was Indra's mystic power. They were actually in heaven. The Bhagavatam, on the other hand, explains very differently. That is, when Krishna left, we went back to the spiritual abode, they were feeling so much separation, they wanted to join him, and so in their self-same bodies, they went to the spiritual realm. They went to the kingdom of God. They didn't go to heaven. So, Mahabharata, they went to heaven. Bhagavatam, they went to the kingdom of God. So, the explanation I gave is, in terms of scriptural evidence or pramana, the Bhagavatam is like the Supreme Court. It's the topmost authority. So the Mahabharata is teaching morality, largely. Good conduct, bad conduct, right activity, wrong activity. So the goal for those who do right activity is heaven. And from the Bhagavatam, its goal is achieve our eternal abode. And just like it says in Bhagavad Gita, don't go for the Brahma Loka or down to the Patara Loka, all their places of birth and death, heaven included. So don't aspire for those things. Aspire to be with Krishna. And the Bhagavatam is teaching the same. So they went directly to the eternal abode of Krishna when Krishna finished his pastimes. That you'll come across when you read chapter 15.
Okay. I read about every day, the Purushottam Yoga every day. At 15, the hour of the morning, when I'm chanting the Krishna,
You're chanting japa also, yes?
Yes, I do.
Oh, good.
There's some stupid party told me you have to do every day.
That's all it takes, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about what you have to do every day, not single every day, you have to do chanting for 5 times. I'm doing it, you know.
Good for you.
I'll follow the Swati, whatever Swati says to me.
Good.
And that helps me. That helps me.
Good.
It makes my day out.
Nice to have such a lovely niece, huh?
Yeah.
Therefore, we draw every year to come in, India.
She started to read in the Gita in the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Swati started. So everybody, all family, go to read.
She started, yeah, but my mom said, why did you stop? Why are you not reading any more Gita? So we started again.
She's been nursing home,
and she like to listen to us, our voice. She said, why didn't you start again? So Swati said, I'm not reading anymore, but you can start and read. Your mom can listen to you. So we started every day 4:30 to 5.
Well, you know, there's Pratibahu is also doing some classes in Gujarat.
Okay.
Gujarati.
Uh-huh.
You know that, right?
No.
Pratibahu is a nice devotee in the Naperville community.
Uh-huh.
And he has classes in Hindi and in Gujarati, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So ask Swati and she'll tell you how to connect. Okay. Hare Krishna.